Bye-bye. Welcome to Parent Talk Podcasts, where experienced parents and expert guests give tips and tricks on making parenting a breeze. Well, at least a little easier. Now here is your host, Genevieve Kyle, and co-host, Heather Fox.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Parent Talk, broadcasting out of the Greater Vancouver area. We're here to inform, educate, and support parents from the early years and beyond. I'm your host, Genevieve Kyle. I am 42, and I am a busy mommy of two, Alexandre, who is 2-year-old, and Nathan, who is 4 months. Today, we are talking about how to feed my picky eater. So let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
Hi, everyone. I'm Heather Fox, the co-host of Parent Talk. I am 41 years old, and my son Hudson is 22 months, and I'm expecting baby number two.
I am Anne-Marie Rideout. I am the owner of WellFed Studio, located in North Vancouver. We provided a healthy hot lunch program to elementary schools, as well as teen and kids cooking classes and healthy meals to go for busy people. I've been running that for the past 6 years. Prior to that, I'm also a busy mom and have two twins that are 13 years old and a boy and a girl. What started me on this path was my background, my education in nutrition from the University of Guelph. And I also had worked in the food industry for 12 years before that in product development and business development.
Well, thank you, Anne-Marie. Thank you, Heather, for being here. So, Anne-Marie, do you think our culture is creating picky eaters?
Good question. I always try to emphasize what to do versus what not to do. I hear what you're saying about our culture creating picky eaters. At times, you can see that in the media. However, getting back to your question about do we create picky eaters, it can be challenging. And we have access to food all the time and treats all the time. And trying to limit and ensure that that kids understand that this is only a treat moment instead of it being something that you should be doing all the time. And it can be hard in our world. You know, your kids aren't in school yet, but when they do go to school and they have soccer practice and there's, you know, at the end of the soccer practice, someone brings cupcakes. And then you have the next day where it's a birthday party and there's cupcakes again. And there's those experiences where it makes it very hard for parents to do a good job in making healthier eating habits. And then that also makes mealtime harder and can create picky eating, because then they're saying, well, I don't want to eat this because I'd like to eat cupcakes all the time. But yeah.
And I was also going to say, especially in like the American Canadian culture, where we see, if we're at a restaurant, for instance, there's the children's menu, and that has all the typical kids' foods. You've got your chicken strips, you've got your pizza, the plain pizza, of course. you've got your grilled cheese and your mac and cheese, and maybe there's a hamburger. But it's all very, very basic and bland. And I think parents also kind of fall into this trap, even though they're not necessarily always at restaurants, they fall into this trap that their children are only going to eat plain, bland foods, and then that's all they can introduce to their children. Where we have to remember that in other countries around the world, they're eating tons of flavors and spices and all these things, and that we need to start introducing our little ones at a young age to those things so that they will start eating them and they will be less picky. Because if they try curry at the age of one rather than waiting till they're six, they're much more apt to start trying these flavors and loving these flavors. And I think we kind of need to take a cue from around the world rather than just kind of looking at our local culture that way and get away from those kids-only foods.
I mean, it's true. My husband one day was eating quite spicy butter chicken, and we didn't think Alex was going to like it, and we gave it to him to try, and sure enough, he loved it, and we gave it to him in his lunch, and they cared at the daycare, and they told us the next day, that was the best lunch ever, you ate it all. We're all like, what, really?
Amazing.
Yeah. So it was very spicy. I mean, to me, it was spicy, so yeah. And
you don't know until you try.
Exactly.
And sometimes it feels you want to have that happy moment, maybe at mealtime, You want to make sure this is a sure thing. I don't feel like dealing with this today. The behavioral or having extra time to introduce something new. And I think you do need to try. You keep trying. Don't give up. And it's not always easy.
Yeah. And the things that you're making for your husband and the other adults, don't forget, you can give those to your children. Like, don't think that, oh, because a risotto has all these flavors and mushrooms and whatever. Like, Hudson loved risotto. Bruce was like, why are you going to give him risotto? He's not going to like risotto. I'm like, why wouldn't I? Like, there's something wrong just because there's additional flavors and additional, you know, little bits and pieces. Why wouldn't I give it to try, right? So, yeah. So it's just about being open-minded and willing to just give those new foods.
Mm-hmm. So how can we handle a picky eater?
Another good question. I think that in general, sometimes picky eating isn't about the food necessarily, but it's about a bit about control. And at times, it's one of the only things that kids can control in their lives. So it's giving them basically the opportunity to give them a little bit of control, but giving them offering things that you're saying that these are the things that we're all eating. Like you were saying, you're eating risotto. The family's eating risotto. We're going to put a little bit on your plate. If you eat it, it's okay. If you don't eat it, it's okay too. But not putting the pressure on them to have to eat those things necessarily, but letting them know that, and then they see that you're eating it and they go, she looks like she's happy. You know, she's enjoying herself, you know, so then they're open-minded to trying it. But if you're always limiting their experience or they're eating separate foods from the family too, it can create those patterns. And you really have to try and make sure that you're open-minded. Let them try and be open-minded, say, you know, try these things. And then also that they're trying new things too, you know, oh yeah, why don't you give that a try, you know, and that it's, again, a positive experience. And if they eat it, great. If they don't, great. But a lot of it comes down to what we present to them. And if we're only presenting things that they like, again, and I'm going back to kind of like the unhealthy versus healthy, because it's a lot, I guess, where my passion is too. And I think that we're here to teach them those habits, is that they, what we provide them is what they have the opportunity to eat. So if we're always providing the same things, again, or if they're, or if you're providing things that are unhealthy because it's easier because they'll eat it, those are not creating great habits in the long run for your kids. Another thing is that, so if, like, let's say you're serving, you know, you have chicken, you have rice, you have broccoli and carrots, just a basic, you know, standard weekday meal, that give them a bit of each one and make sure that they have the opportunity to eat those. And if they choose not to, that's okay. Again, but always keep presenting all of those things a little bit on their plate. You don't necessarily need to waste food, because a lot of people worry about, like, you know, like you put a massive thing and then you're throwing out stuff. I think just put a little bit on, and if they'd like more, they can ask for more. So then you get an idea, you know, and this time they didn't eat carrots, but, you know, that's not the end. That doesn't mean that they hate carrots forever. It could be that they don't like it cooked, or they prefer raw vegetables. So try different ways to approach it too and reintroduce it again. And it might just be a phase that they're going through. I know my daughter wanted to only, didn't talk about this before, but my daughter only wanted to eat bread and cheese. And I love, like, vegetables. So it was like killing me. I was like, she'd have like it, you know, cause she, that was the things that she decided that she wanted to eat first. And we had to limit that. You know, if we put a bowl of bread in the middle of the table, she would just keep eating it if we weren't watching, right? So we said, you know, you're allowed one piece, you know, so present to them what are the appropriate amounts of each thing so that they understand how to be balanced as well. And don't give up. Keep trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of not giving up, for instance, like introducing beets to Hudson. I think it was the first two or three times he kind of tried it, spat it out, horrible, funny face. And but I didn't give up. I didn't. I just, you know, put them on again and again. And now he loves them. So I never pressured him. I never really talked about it. I just randomly kept giving him beets. And then he all of a sudden starts eating them. And now he loves them. So just, yeah, don't give up.
My son loved all the vegetable as puree. And now he's two and he's actually eating vegetable, not puree. Doesn't want to eat them anymore. So we're starting again from scratch, going from like raw to cooked to I'm trying in them again and again and again. But yeah, all of a sudden you eat a tomatoes, which you would never eat a tomato before. So that was a pretty good win on our side.
Yay. Nice.
Talking about vegetable, actually, should we worry if our child doesn't eat vegetables?
At all?
Well, very little.
Very little.
I mean, a lot of fruits, but no vegetables.
I would say that, again, just keep introducing it. Don't give up. And that, you know, you might want to try different types of vegetables. And we were talking about this again earlier, is that, you know, you mentioned your son liked the sweet potatoes originally in the puree, right? So a little sweeter, you could try different textures. Like you said, pureed versus, you know, you can go back and forth. If some kids do like complex foods, so maybe they do like it combined. Maybe it's a little boring for them after a while. Dips, you know, or making it fun, cutting out shapes, you know. I know we have all the time in the world, but, you know, that you're really trying to try and keep introducing it and finding ones that they do like. I know a lot of kids too, if you can involve them in the process, like if you're going grocery shopping and you say, why don't you pick out the vegetable? Like you're in charge. Give them that control and let them be the leader on this. And you'll find that when they take ownership of those things that they really feel empowered and it's their thing. Growing vegetables, start a garden. We had a cooking class, one of the first ones we did. It was one of the elementary schools. We grew spinach. And then, you know, spinach is pretty quick to grow. So it was good for timing too. And we planted spinach and then all the kids harvested it. So it was kind of over several visits. And then we ended up going and making a meal from it. And I remember, like, I felt like I won because this one boy came up to me and said, I've never had spinach before and I love it. And it was such an empowering experience. I was like, yeah.
That's great.
So I think kids really like to be involved in the process. And like I said, it's a lot about control, I think, with picky eaters. So when they have the ability to control what they intake and that it's okay if they decide not to eat it, and then maybe later on they'll try it, but you know, not to make it so that they're bad from a behavioral standpoint. Just give them the opportunity to keep trying it.
Mm-hmm. Should we be worried if our children don't eat their entire meal or they don't eat a lot at their meal time?
My opinion is that no, I don't think that you should be worried. I think you should look at things as a whole and, figure out why they're not hungry in this case. And it might be that they were at a friend's house and the parents fed, you know, they had a play date and they had free access to snacks. And that was only half an hour ago. And then you're trying to feed them dinner. Well, of course they're not hungry. They just ate half an hour ago, but you didn't know that. Or maybe they're not feeling well. Maybe they're starting to come down with something. So, or maybe they're overwhelmed. It could be, you know, I know like a lot of the times it could be something where there's too much going on. There's too much stimulus in the room. So you kind of just figure out why it's happening and look at it as a whole for the whole day. Like not each meal. If they miss a meal, they're not going to starve. And that's how you look at, I think, nutrition as well and all those things. You know, if they've had like a meal where it wasn't as healthy, you know, you try and do better the next time.
We all know that teething can interfere with our children's eating habit. How can I make sure they're getting their proper nutrients? If teething takes a while, you know, like it can be a little bit worrying.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not a doctor on this, but just use basic common sense. Let's say, kind of put yourself in their shoes, and how you would feel if you had just, you know, had a tooth pulled. You know, you're not going to feel great, right? And probably the foods that you are going to be eating in particular are going to be softer and something that's not going to irritate your mouth. So I would just avoid foods that are going to be irritants. And maybe, you know, that's part of the reason why they're not eating, because the foods are irritating them. So just kind of take check on what you're serving them. Maybe these citrus fruits could be irritating because they're acidic, or it could be something that's difficult to chew. Again, common sense on how you would feel. And then, you know, it might take a bit to heal. So I wouldn't worry about it. Again, it's like, you know, if you're sick or you've had like trauma, it's basically trauma to the mouth, right? So they are going to take a while to heal. But if you can, you can try in foods that are got lots of nutrition in them that are soft. We were talking about smoothies earlier. I think that's a great alternative. I was saying my kids are 13 right now, but they used to have this little, for the really little guys, where it was a teething thing where you could put like frozen fruit in.
Yeah, the silicone ones and mesh ones, and you can put like frozen food, whether
I was doing bananas for Alex. Yeah, yes. Bananas.
Yeah. It's a great tool. So, so there's lots of like smart moms that have made great products that work and that allow, maybe it was a dad, I shouldn't say moms, that made that. Yeah. So sorry, dads. you know, basically a teething, thing that they can actually get some nutrients, soups, you know, things that make you feel good.
And those fruit pouch always are easy to go, and they have great organics ones and they're not too expensive, and you can find them everywhere.
Yeah, just avoid the acidic ones. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So any tips or tricks for our busy moms and dads out there that are trying to feed their family well?
Well, this is what my family did in the past. We used to, if it was dinner time and let's say your kids were having a hard time with their vegetables, is that I used to put out my vegetables in a tray and try and present it as nicely as I could. So, you know, I always found like if there was veggies in the fridge, there was always veggies, but no one ate them unless they were cut up and presented. So I would always put out a tray before the meal. And this helped with my daughter, who always wanted to eat bread and cheese. So when I put out the veggies and she was hungry, I knew that she was eating those, and then I didn't have to worry about it in the meal. And so then when I presented the meal, it was easier on me psychologically, and I knew that she was covered off. So that was one tip that I used. And we also, what else did we do? We made our food separate. Sometimes for picky eaters in particular, things touching. They don't necessarily want to touch. You were talking about that earlier,
Still
Heather.
Me to this day sometimes. Where's the divided plate? I'll take one of those, please.
Yeah, and they made those divided plates for a reason, you know. And kids are, you know, like I know that we want to introduce them to spicy things and try things. But also, like, remember, like, our taste buds have had a lot of wear and tear on them. So, like, you know, our levels of, like, spice and what we can handle is a very different experience than what they can handle. They're like, you know, they're super sensitive. So we have to be aware of that. And part of it, you know, is like when things touch the flavors get mixed. I don't know. It could be textural. It could be flavors mixing. Could be all kinds of things. So try and, you know, keep the food separate. I think you'll be more successful. Look at each day as a whole, and don't focus on the nitty gritty of every moment. I have an 80-20 rule. We talk about that with my business, is that, you know, eat 80% of the time really well. And 20% of the time, you know, I like ice cream. I eat a hot dog once in a while, but it's not something that I should be doing all the time. So keep that in mind that, you know, you're going to have good days and bad days, but try and do 80% good, 20% where you can. And that's kind of fun, right? You know, we should enjoy those things as well. And same with kids too. Encourage them to try new foods. I don't think I talked about this before, but get them involved in the cooking preparation phase. I know they're little, like, you know, like your guys are really little, but they might be able to even help you, you know, like maybe it's the veggie that they get to pick the veggie, You know, you have four different ones and you say, well, which one did you want tonight? You know, maybe they're not ready to use a knife and, but they can actually be involved. And then once they get older, you can get them involved in those things as long as there's supervision and they know how to do it. But, because you're teaching them a skill and you're teaching them on how to think about it too. Like there's a lot of like a bit of the psychology behind that too, and how you go about things.
Something that works with Alex, and it's kind of funny. Let's say we're eating blueberries, and I don't have any other choices. So I say, "Do you want a small blueberry, or do you want a big blueberry?" And he always wants a big blueberry. But it makes
Fun.
It's fun, and he's choosing
which one has to say. Yeah,
yeah. So if you don't have a lot of food in your fridge, you know you don't have a full fridge all the time. But anyways, for my family, it's been working pretty well. Now, even it's a big slice of cheese or a small slice of cheese. And I know it's always going to be the big one. That's just what he likes. But it works for us.
Yeah, that's great.
So Anne-Marie, we can find you on our panel of expert at parenttalk.ca, but where else can we find you?
You can find me at Wellfed Studio, either on our website, our Facebook page, or Twitter.
And that is?
Wellfed Studio.
Perfect.
Make it easy.
Yeah. Heather, it's time for a conversation card.
It's time for a conversation card. Every week we like to play a game, not only for fun, but to get to know our guests a little more too. Nobody knows what the mystery card might ask. Sometimes silly and sometimes serious. Let's find out what it will be this week.
Can you please pick one and read it to us, please?
All right, ladies, here we go. So today's question: what do you think is the hardest part about being a kid and about being a parent?
Hardest part about being a kid, being small. Sometimes it was hard being like it was fun being little, but sometimes, you know, like reaching things. I'm trying to think what was hard, but probably the control thing as well too, where I didn't get to pick everything, you know, like there was a point where I was like, hey, I don't want to pick. biggest part about being an adult, I have a funny little story about this, but I guess just responsibility in some ways, you know, like being like, you know, sometimes you just want to be silly and be goofy and not have that the accountability and the responsibility of being an adult. So, you know, you kind of look back at your childhood and go, wow, you know, my daughter one time, we had this saying, he said, and this is kind of like a child's perspective. I was like, do you know what the word responsibility means? And my daughter said, having a good time.
This is great.
Yeah, I know. It just made me giggle. So anyways, but yeah, I think it's the weight of the responsibilities you have. And then maybe in childhood where you want to really grow up and have like more control over your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely for being a kid, I think it's the control issue. I think, you know, we kind of go through our childhood kind of, you know, admiring older kids, admiring teenagers, admiring adults, you know, you're always kind of looking at that next stage. And so I think a lot of it is just kind of wanting to be more independent and wanting to have that control. So I think that's probably the hardest thing. And of course, then when you're an adult, you want everything to slow down, right? and the hardest thing for me about being a parent is probably kind of like the responsibility and just kind of the dauntiness of almost like, I am raising a little human being and I want him to be kind and I want him to be strong and I want him to be resilient. And you want all these amazing things for your children, and it can be very overwhelming and very daunting at times. So I think that's probably the hardest thing. Yeah.
I think for a child to, you know, you like it when you're a good boy and they have to behave like adult almost. I think it must be really hard for them. The expectation of like they're growing and they're well behaved. And I don't think so. It's really like what a child would like to behave all the time. Just want to play and have fun. And if I reverse that on the other side, for adult, it's to some adult have really hard time to start playing like a child. And it's so much fun when you actually are able to put yourself back into their shoes and play the way they play. Yeah. And usually you have a better time like that, but it's really hard for a lot of adults to do this. And or sometimes the situation, certain situation, a certain game is more difficult than other for adults. But I think when we actually really take the time to play at their level or the way they would do it, usually it's a better time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great connections.
Yeah, better connection. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Anne-Marie, and thank you, Heather, for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. That concludes today's episode. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to be here today and for your contribution in other parents' life, helping us be the best parents we can be. For our listeners, if you have a question or you would like to join us on our show as a guest or as an expert, please visit the Contact Us section on our website at parenttalk.ca. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Podbean, or you can subscribe directly to this podcast on our website at parenttalk.ca. Please take a minute to review us on Apple Podcasts. We'd like to know what you think. And remember, there's nothing more powerful than feeling supported by a community of parents and sharing your thoughts, ideas, and experiences. Parent Talk is a safe space for everyone. Thank you for listening, and have a great week.
The views and or opinions of the host and their guests are not necessarily those of Parent Talk and should not be considered as fact. The information offered is believed to be accurate but is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice and should not be used for diagnosing or treating any health issue or prescribing medication. If you have any questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your child, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare practitioner.